14. Hail, sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God that rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high. Despised his rich abounding grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view to Sinai's fiery mount I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. Along a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared. She led me on with gentle pace to Jesus as my hiding place. Should storms of thundering vengeance roll and shake the earth from pole to pole, no flaming bolt shall daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me safe on Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the song of grace and see my glorious hiding place.
403. Tempted and tried, made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther
when death has come and taken
will understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall
I know that I
cannot pray just like old Daniel. I cannot preach like the great apostle Paul. But I know I love my Lord for all his favor. For he died, for he
Granted.
4.
27.
And 5, 20.
Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my life in vain. I meant it then to murmur and of my love complain. But when I think of Jesus and all he's done for me, then I cry, oh, rock of ages, hide thou me. Oh, rock of ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. When life's dark veil
Take my hand, praise the
$4.99 and $4.95.
We trust that we are indeed thankful to the Lord for all that He has benefited us in this life. Not only the monetary things, but above all things, the spiritual blessings that's given us in Christ Jesus the Lord. And I doubt, and we sing that hymn sometime, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. And before you could count and count, you already had some more, right? You never get through. That's the thing about God's grace, and we're thankful. If we understand the heart to have a portion in that, and we are good to see all of you and thank the Lord that you had a mind to come this way. And as you may have guessed by now, Brother Dan Parker called last night and said that because of his condition, his throat condition, that he wouldn't be able to be here with us today. And I regret that, but we kind of tentatively scheduled him, Lord willing, to be here in either October or November. So. We hope to hold him to that. We miss Brother Ed, who's not able to be here, but we're thankful for Sister Helen, Sister Faye, that they come on. And Brother Raymond, you have some that you want to make mention of?
Sister Mary said she
would
go to the doctor Monday.
Been asked to remember, I guess you'd call it my grandniece. It's in my brother's family that lives at Rocky Mountain, who passed with cancer, and the niece who now has cancer, and now the grandniece in the same family. And we hope and pray. It hadn't been diagnosed as cancer yet, but she's having to have surgery done the 28th, so you can remember her as well. It's good to see Brother Tim and Grady here. Brother and Sister Light, good to see y'all up at the Bellsville Church. And we're thankful to have him here with us. Brother Chris is having to work this Saturday, and Lord willing, he'll be here with us tomorrow. Did you make the Martinsville church announcement?
No, I didn't. I made it up there.
This coming Saturday, that's be a week from today, with the church at Martinsville on Chatham Road. They'll begin their annual meeting at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and at 2 p.m. they'll break for lunch, and again at 2 p.m. and again on Sunday. And among the elders, and I'll give you what's written down here in the way that it is. Elder Kenny Bowles, Donnie Connor, Bob Dickerson, John Draper, myself, and Tony Parker, and others, and they invite you to come and be with them in that. Lord willing, we had committed sometime, I guess, last fall to be with them in this meeting, and since that time, Ken folks in the church at Northview, his daughter is getting married at Quaker Gap, so that takes precedence, I suppose, and I will leave at lunch, Lord willing, from that meeting at March. We do invite you second Sunday in July, our annual meeting with the church at Northview. Elder Ronnie Bowman, Elder Fred Williams, Lord willing, will be with us in that meeting at Northview on second Sunday morning. I have a card I'd like to read to the church from the Elmer Moorefield family. It says, thank you for coming to sing at Elmer's funeral. You helped make a difficult time easier. And we know he would have enjoyed your singing. Keep us in your prayers. And this is from Brother Elmer Moorefield, who was a member at Northview Church. And some of the members here came and helped with the singing in the card. Special to you. Is there anything else we need to make mention of?
We mentioned about Sister Leo for the evening last week.
Okay. All right. Let's turn to 103, if you will, please. Number 103. When you're ready.
God of love, oh hear our prayer, kindly for thy people there. We only alone depend, love and save us to the end. Save us in the
before thee, not knowing how to pray as we should and ought, but believing, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit maketh groanings for us when words cannot be uttered. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou hast watched over, protected, guided, led our feet in a path of righteousness for thy name's sake. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the beauty of this day. Thank thee, Lord, that things are as well with us as they are, for the breath of life that we breathe unlabored. Father, we thank thee for each one that had a mind to come this way. And pray, O Lord, that we may be bound together in unity of the faith. Lord, that we may be in the unity of the Spirit, that we can worship thee as thou art, the God of all grace. That we can lift our voices in praise and adoration. Lord, that our prayers may come up before thee as a sweet savor. And Lord, that the preaching of the gospel may find a tender spot, that our ears may be tuned to that gospel. Heavenly Father, we'd beg, O Lord, that thou would forgive our shortcomings, our failures to measure up. Gracious Father, we ask that thou might remember each one that goes to make up the body of this church, each member, Heavenly Father, whithersoever that they are, that thou might be with them. Many, Heavenly Father, that are in the nursing homes, that are shut up at home, gracious Lord, that thou art able to visit in all places at the same time. And we beg, O Lord, that thou might be with them, for those whose hearts thou hast tended with grace, for those, Heavenly Father, that in the years past found their seed in this place, and yet now, Heavenly Father, by reasons of afflictions, they're not able to be here. And they just cry out from the places whithersoever that they are. And they cry out unto thee, O God, if it please thee, that thou would hear their cries, O Lord, that thou might comfort their hearts. We are pilgrims and strangers here below, Heavenly Father, that thou would remember them. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this, our brother. We pray, O Lord, if it please thee, that thou might open his mind and heart, that thou would bless him with a quickness of mind to be able to preach from thy word. Bless, Heavenly Father, the places where that he labors, his labors, God, that they may be blessed of thee. We ask, O Lord, that thou would bless the church in its endeavors. We pray that thou might supply the needs and that thou would add to the borders as it please thee. Gracious Lord, for the ministry in Zion, that it may be uncompromising, turning neither to the left nor to the right, but ever pressing towards the mark of the prize in Christ Jesus. Bless, O Lord, if it please thee, those that are in harm's way, those of loved ones who are in foreign soils and here upon this a part of the United States, that thou would bless them and their families, protect them as thou seest fit, O Lord, and that thou grace would be a sufficient provider for all of those to supply their needs. Ask, O Lord, thou bless the deacon, bless each member according to thy measure of riches and glory. For these things, Lord, we would humbly try to pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for his sake we'd ask. Amen.
Reverend Tim McGregor.
Well, we're certainly thankful for another opportunity to gather with the Lord's people. We're thankful that there are still some desiring to worship in the Spirit of truth. And we believe that is the manner in which we've come together this afternoon. Hope you can pray for me, of course. Time I'm before you here. I'd like to turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Acts as a starting place. The number of disciples, we're told, at this particular time had grown to the point that it became virtually impossible for the apostles to attend to all the needs of the people and to minister the word as well. It was just taken away from the time they needed to spend preaching the gospel, just simply as that. And so there began to be a murmuring, it says, among some of the people that their widows were being neglected in the administration. And so the 12, it says, called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it's not reason, it's not right that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Now that is, of course, the primary responsibility of those who are called into the ministry is to minister the word. And so they said, look out among you, seven men full of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose these men. If you've read it, you know I'll not go over their names, but they set them apart and laid hands upon them. And what I want to get to is verse 7 of Acts 6. It says, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Now, when the hands of the apostles were freed to minister the word, it says that the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. As needful and as essential as fellowship is to God's people, and what could we do with that? I tell you, we need one another. It's good and pleasant when brothers can dwell together in unity. But as needful and important as fellowship is, it's not fellowship that converts people to the truth. Sorry. It's the ministry of the word.
Amen.
The scripture teaches that it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save men who believe. And so it is extremely important that the scriptures be taught. And that's the thought I have on my mind this afternoon, if I have one. And I want to turn over to writings of the Apostle Peter in his second epistle in the first chapter. And I'm going to begin reading verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. The apostle says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy. For unto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Peter speaks here of having a sure word. Now, I'm thankful God's word is something we can depend upon. It's certain. I recall on various occasions the apostle would use an expression that this is a faithful Savior. Now, something is faithful is something to be depended upon. If something is true. Paul said, "This is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Aren't you glad that's true? That's a sure word from God. That's a promise you can take home with you. He came to save sinners, and we can depend upon that. And so the thought we want to major on is the sureness, the reliability of the word of God. Now, I know in times past, the scripture teaches it there in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, that in time past, before the coming of Christ into the world, God spoke to people various times in various ways. He said it's sundry times in divers manners. And you know, God revealed things to people through dreams and visions. And I'm not going to say that God might not still reveal something to somebody in a dream. I can honestly say I don't think he's ever revealed anything to me in a dream. But if God did reveal to someone something in a dream, it would be the same thing as talking his word now. The day of new revelation is long since passed. There's nothing to be added to what the scriptures teach, and certainly we're not to take away from it. As far as what we teach is to be found in the word of God. We're to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, and of course you prove it out with the word of God. If we can't prove it by God's word, then we don't need to be teaching as far as that goes. But the point I want to make is this. If somebody told me a dream or a vision that they may have had, I don't know that I would have any way of determining whether God was in that or not. Now, he might be and he might not be. I don't know. But my point is, if someone tells me something that God says right here in his word, I know that's true. I don't have to doubt that. That's a sure word. And Peter says we do well to take heed unto what God has said. He says we have a sure word, which is prophecy, that which God has spoken. And he says we do well to take heed unto it as a light that shines in a dark place. And you know, God's word is a light. It's a light, and it's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. The psalmist said, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. The light of the glorious gospel has shone unto us." I think of what the apostle Paul said in writing to the believers at Ephesus. And he spoke of the, and I assume there he was speaking of the Jew when he said, "Who first trusted in Christ." The gospel's to the Jew first. He said, "Who first trusted in Christ," Paul being a Jew himself. But then he said to those Gentile Ephesians, "In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Now they came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ when that light was shown unto them. God, by his Holy Spirit, opens the eyes of people's understanding. He opens their spiritually blind eyes. I recall the prophecy that said of the coming of our Lord into the world, they that sat in darkness saw a great light. Now, I'll tell you, a great light came in with the coming of our Lord into this world. And you know, anytime I read this where the Apostle Peter speaks of the day star arising in our hearts, I can't help but think of the old unit there in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, you know, when the day star arises out here in nature each morning, the darkness has to flee. We're speaking of the sun, of course, the day star in nature. When the sun arises, the darkness is dispensed. It has to flee. And when the light of the glorious gospel comes in, the darkness is removed. There was a brother there that had been to Jerusalem and was on his way home, and he was reading the prophecy of Isaiah. Didn't know what he was reading. And so the Lord sent a man to preach to him. And he was reading, as I said, from the prophecy of Isaiah. And he told Philip, he didn't know what he was reading, didn't understand. And we're told that Philip started that same scripture and preached Jesus unto him. And when he preached Jesus that day, don't you know, the day star began to arise in that old brother's heart. I tell you, God, by his Holy Spirit, opened the eyes of that man's understanding.
That's right.
He could receive and rejoice in what Philip was setting before him. Now, he preached Jesus to him. And obviously, he preached water baptism. And when they came to a certain spot, he desired to be baptized. And the eunuch said, "Here is water. What's hindering me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you can be." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, you know, the eunuch couldn't have told you that before Philip preached to him, because he didn't know who Isaiah was talking about. He didn't know what he was talking about, himself or somebody else. And so, as we say again, the importance of the Word of God being taught. It's the truth, the Scriptures, that converts people into the way that God would have them to walk. And of course, we're talking about converting His people now. We're not talking about converting the dead. We're talking about converting someone from error into the truth. And that's the purpose of the gospel. The gospel brings life and immortality to life. It tells you what you got and how you got it. And so he says we ought to take heed unto this sure word as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. He says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And he goes on to say, for prophecy didn't come with the will of man, and obviously it's not interpreted that way. God is the one who inspired men to pen these truths, and he is the one who gives the interpretation of it. And you know, the Scriptures have been saying the same thing ever since they were written. The Scriptures mean exactly what God intended for them to mean, and that's all they mean. Now, you know, it's easy to misinterpret and misapply Scripture, and sometimes we'll look through the Bible and find a verse that seems to say what we were looking for, and we'll, you know, it's easy to pull it out of context. But the Scriptures mean exactly what God intended for them to mean, and that's all they mean, and that's the way in which they're to be used. And if we do that, those who have been called to minister the Word, we must study. And I want to turn over to Paul's second epistle to Timothy and read just a verse here, very familiar to you, I know. Chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Preaching is not divinely inspired in the same sense that the Scriptures are. If it was, you'd never hear a minister ever make a mistake.
That's right.
Now, there are people who do believe that all they have to do is get up here and open their mouth and God will just pour it through them. They don't have